Hello, you've reached Mr. Mocha. We're on in 5. Well, all right then. I'll collect my thoughts, pour my drink, and we'll make some magic happen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Mocha Time, the podcast where we take some time out of our extremely busy lives to get a drink and reflect on both the world around us and ourselves. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha, and tonight's choice of beverage is a hot chocolate, courtesy of the Marjorie Robinson Library at Newcastle University. Low prices, but great taste. One of my co-hosts with this episode has reminded me that it's actually Pelican Rouge. Coffee Roasters, Belgium, 1863. Vintage. Very, very vintage. But, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've all had a good week thus far. It's been a very hectic week for myself. I'm sure it's been a hectic week for a lot of you. But as we've talked about many times before, it is very important to make time for yourself. And like I said many times previously, this podcast is a way for me to get my thoughts out there and just really share that with you. And for me, that's a bit of a break. So I hope this episode is a break for you. And if it's not, then I hope it inspires you to take that break, to make time for yourself, because self-love is making time for yourself. Now, naturally, as I mentioned last week, we discussed why relationships don't always go to plan, and I thought we would end the month of February on a good note, and we would talk about why relationships might go well, which is why I've invited two of my very close friends onto the podcast to join me, really just to have a discussion, a very casual, free-flowing discussion. So, without further ado, I'd like them to introduce themselves. So, which one of you would like to go first? V, would we like to start with you?
Okay. Hi, I'm V. And with us today is...
Kat.
So, we have V and Kat, both of them very good friends of mine. I thought it would be the best fitting to come onto the podcast to discuss some of the ideas around what makes a good relationship. And so, in advance, I prepared a few questions. I've asked them to sort of think about them. Naturally not stage an answer, because that wouldn't be natural. But just to have a bit of a think, just to bring something to the table, as we all do. And so, with that very, very short introduction, as I always say, let's sit, take a sip, and get right into it. So, that's my first question to the both of you, V and Kat. It doesn't really matter who goes first. What do you think is the most important quality to have when you're in a relationship as a person?
Can I take it away?
Okay, well, that question is quite difficult. I would probably say it would be loving yourself, because I feel like in a relationship, that's the key thing. Because if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else? How is someone else going to love you effectively? And you, V?
Well, that's deep. I couldn't think of any one quality someone could have that would guarantee you a good relationship. Mm-hmm. I think what you want is a set of qualities that are complementary to each other. So, just find someone who's a good fit for the qualities you have.
So someone that's compatible with you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I want to sort of touch upon both of those a bit more, just sort of delve in a bit further. You said you need to love yourself before you can love someone else. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to love yourself? Because I feel as though nowadays a lot of people read into that as, I need to think that I'm this perfect human being without any flaws, and I don't necessarily think that's the case. But naturally, what do you think, Kat?
Well, I think it's more of a sense of being like self-assured, being able to make your own decisions, being able to look at yourself in the mirror and see yourself as something that's, you know, maybe not the most beautiful thing ever, but like you can see your own beauty, you can see why someone else would love you. Because if you rely on someone else to, you know, do that for you, then you're just going to lose yourself.
Interesting. V, what do you think about what Kat has just sort of brought to the table there?
I think what she said is true, actually. I think it's really important that you love yourself. You don't look for validation in the other person. You're confident on your own. You can be on your own, do your own thing. And you're just more with the other person. I think if you're looking for someone to complete you, then you'll just keep looking, and it won't be a healthy balance in the relationship.
I mean, and then that's quite an interesting take on it. I think, now, naturally, I agree with the both of you on that matter. And I think it's something that a lot of people forget. And I think it might be because a lot of the time in society, we almost romanticize the idea of having a partner that completes them. I think, you know, the phrase, you complete me, comes up God knows how many times in media. And when you're younger, you sort of take that on board. You sort of think, oh, well, I need this person to make me whole. And I think, as you both have sort of touched on, it leads us to a very, very slippery slope. At the bottom of that slope, you're at a point of dependence. I don't think that love and dependence are the same thing. I think, in a sense, dependence is needing someone to be there. I mean, I think we all need to love. But I don't think that love... I mean, Kat's making a bit of a face there. Do you not think that we need to love?
No, I feel like at a point you do.
At what point is that?
Well, again, you know, at university, love is so hard. You know, focus on your degree, guys.
you have it right here, folks. Education's the way forward. okay, but what is that point, though? Are we talking age? Are we talking a sense of mental maturity? Is it a bit of both?
Yeah, because I feel like, for example, when you're 14, as much as you might think, oh, I'm in love with this person, you're not. It's not real. Let me retract that.
Okay.
You know what? There have been people I know that literally met like their significant other at like 13, but that's a rarity. In reality, it's just, you know, puppy love.
Okay, puppy love. V, what do you think about that? Puppy love. Are we saying that as you're younger, your age alone invalidates the realism of the love that you feel? Is it because from a mental standpoint you haven't matured entirely yet? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I do agree. I think meeting when you're that young and getting together, you're not really mature enough to... The relationship at that point won't be the same as a mature relationship between adults. But it is possible to meet then and grow with each other.
Yeah, very rare.
And then, yeah, like you said, it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
But you can mature into two people that are compatible and, yeah, just grow up together.
Interesting. Okay, now I think it's actually really good that you sort of ended on that point, B, because I want to come back to something you said earlier about qualities and that it's important that you sort of meet someone with complementary qualities to you. Do you think that there are perhaps standard qualities that everyone should have as a bit of a baseline? And then obviously you can sort of fluctuate around that? Or do you think it's really just a case of case-by-case basis?
I think the qualities that everyone should have, like, don't really have to do with the relationship. They're just, if you want to be a healthy, functional person, these are qualities you should have. And then a relationship is separate.
Interesting.
It's a different issue.
Cap?
Yeah, I agree.
That was a very extensive answer. Brilliant. Okay. No, that's good. And I think if we were going to end that sort of question there and so we'll move on to the next, I suppose what we can say there is that a relationship should never be something there to complete you. A relationship should be something that builds on you as a person. I've always sort of envisioned relationships as an adventure. But you need to finish the adventure that you have on your own before you start that new adventure with someone else. Because I feel like so a lot of the time, if you're not content with yourself and what you've managed to achieve, if you step into something seriously too soon, then what you end up doing is regretting and thinking, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. Now, that isn't always the case. But to that extent, what I urge all of you to do, ladies and gentlemen, is just remember that you do not need another person to complete you. It is through your own efforts, self-reflection, and experience that you complete yourselves. And in the process, you will then meet someone else to build on that. Any good home needs a foundation to build on. You be that strong foundation and add to it. What do you think makes good communication? Because I think communication is something that's really pushed out there in society. You need to communicate in relationships for them to work really well. What does that actually mean, though? I feel like it's a term that has been thrown around so much, it's become somewhat arbitrary. So, V, Kat, what do you think? What is good communication?
Well, let's let V go on this one.
Oof, this is where I struggle, to be honest.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm not. I think it's self-evident I'm not a great communicator.
I think perhaps Stoic says things when they need to be said.
Yeah,
might be a more appropriate. I don't think you're bad at communicating.
Yeah, I think I'm just quite reserved.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that.
And yeah, I don't like extraneous communication, but in a relationship, you need more than just the necessities. It needs to be more than that. So I'm trying to improve. I've been trying to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have learned. You just need to be on the same page there.
Okay. So it's not so much about doing something that is a society set standard. It is something which is set by your partner and you coming to a mutual agreement on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Compromise there.
Good. And I think compromise is important. You know, naturally life is give and take. And so even in a relationship, you naturally need to be able to do that. Kat, what do you think?
Well, I'm an okay communicator. I feel like it depends on your partner again, as you said. For example, some partners like, you know, being talked to every day, all day long. Some partners, it's like you can message them every 2 days just to check they're alive and it's all right. So it's just about balancing it, you know, listening, not like letting your ego get ahead of you, like when you're arguing, for example, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the last point, do you think that's something that happens quite frequently?
Yeah, especially if you're dating a person with a very stubborn personality type.
Okay. So I suppose to that extent, if we talked about being stubborn and we talked about arguing, I think a lot of the time, I personally believe, and this is a bit of a controversial opinion, so I suppose I have to be slightly careful here. you're right there, yeah. I suppose we live in a society where we are almost afraid to face confrontation a lot of the time. I think we like to imagine a utopia where everyone is nice and friendly and calm and there is no conflict. But I would thoroughly encourage, well, not arguments in a relationship for the sake of arguments, but arguments, I think, can be a good way to understand one another. But I think, as Kat sort of alluded to, it's dependent on you not letting your ego get ahead of what the root cause of the argument is. Now, how realistic is that of an opinion of mine? I mean, naturally, both of you are very experienced in relationships. I suppose, in comparison, I'm a bit of a novice. So how realistic is that?
You have equal experience, you know?
you actually do.
You actually have more or less equal as well.
Oh, okay. But then, is that a realistic way of looking at it? Do you think it's possible to not put your ego first?
I think,
if
you're arguing, I think if it gets to a point where you're saying things just to be spiteful.
Yes, because you know when you're doing it, like, you can stop yourself.
Yeah.
Like, when you, I'm not going to give examples on air, but you know what I mean? We've all had arguments like that.
Right. Yeah, no, naturally, we've all had arguments where I think there's a phase where you're trying to get your points across and it's not getting through. So then the focus shifts from let's address the problem to, well, let's just sort of set a bit of a hierarchy almost so I feel better about the situation. And I feel as though sometimes that is why a lot of relationships fall apart, you know?
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I do want to talk about, though, is the idea of people saying, you don't say something you don't mean. There's always some truth to it. What do you think about that? Difficult question. And that's why we have the hot drinks here to sort of ease the questioning. But what do you think about that?
I'm just trying to think back to, like, arguments with my siblings. Because
that's different when you have sibling arguments, because, like, they're your family. You can rip them apart. Like,
yeah, that's what they're there for.
It's like a, you know, significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, like, there are certain things you'll say, and it's just like at the time, we're like, you know, you don't care, like, you just want to hurt them, like, you don't think you want to be with them, and then it's like after, you're just like, oh no, I actually like you now.
I've never gotten to that point.
Me either, actually. Yeah, I'm actually really passive, but I feel like it's true to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, V, it seemed like you wanted to sort of say something there.
No, I'm just trying to think back to I think most of the time there will be an element of truth in it, but it's, you'll say something that maybe you've noticed, it's not a big deal, but people always, they focus more on themselves and think people notice
right.
it more.
Right.
Like okay. if I mention someone's big feet in an argument.
Like, oh, that's true.
Maybe once I noted they had big feet, but then that might be something they're really self-conscious about, and they might like go, oh, so you hate my feet. You hate my feet, huh? So why didn't you just say this? It's been like this all along, hasn't it?
That's happened to me once, actually.
The but big feet.
No. It's basically like in the early stages of like my relationship, it was like, oh, your eyebrows. Because they were really bad, I'm not going to lie. And it came up, obviously, during an argument. It's like, well, your eyebrows are bad. And I was like, what? But it helps. Now my eyebrows are nice.
Oh, okay. Now that's something I want to touch on then. If your partner says something in an argument, do you then, post-argument, make alterations to yourself to then, you know?
Well, in that instance, it was more of a thing where everyone was telling me, like my best friend would tell me, and I was just, my mom would tell me, my siblings would tell me.
Right, so it wasn't a partner exclusive.
Yeah, because obviously my partner would say that, oh, you know, like when I do my makeup, they'd be like, oh, you look cute. Like always, you know, even without makeup, I'm cute, but anyway.
Self-confidence there, people, is very important in today's society. Continue.
But that was the thing, but say he's like, oh, you're fat, like I wouldn't start working out for him, I'd do it for myself.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just things like that.
You know, and honestly, I think to sort of detract, I feel as though, and this is not discriminating by all means, gents, this applies to you too, but I feel as though hearing that from Kat is very important for the ladies who are listening to this episode, because you may feel as though nowadays society's standards of what beauty are require you to be a certain way. The people who are meant to be in your lives will accept you for you. If you are going to make that change, you make it for yourself, for you to feel good about yourself and for you to accept yourself. But if you feel as though you need to change things which arguably aren't that big of a deal, for example, height or the brand of makeup you use or weight, if you need to change those things, then you are talking to the wrong people. Now, Kat, I sort of made a face about height.
Well,
it applies more to the gents.
Well, okay, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Look, as someone that's very, very tall, for me, height is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Also, guys, if you have a Tinder profile, you know, please just say your actual height. Please don't say you're 5'11" and you come at 5'9" and then be sad when the girl rejects you.
Ooh, wow.
Just be honest. Love yourself, okay?
That was a very good say towards the end.
It's true.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But no, my point still stands. I mean, I suppose we can put height on the fence. Weight, your brand of makeup, the way you dress, the way you speak, those are who you are. And if you start to alter yourself to meet someone's arbitrary standards, you really need to evaluate and think, well, what's going on? Am I loving myself? To pick up on what Kat said earlier, before you love someone else, it's important that you love yourself. So make sure that you're consistent, because then you will attract people in this lifetime who are also consistent and will give you the level of respect and care that you deserve. But let's move on to the next question. Let's move on. And I suppose it's quite interesting that you know, we just sort of talked about arguments and the like. So what do you think the best thing to do is when your partner's made a mistake? Now, naturally, we're human beings. We all make mistakes. We're all prone to them. You know, the number of times I've been walking to university and I've stacked on the way there and sort of looked around. Maybe you don't know, stacked means sort of tripped or fallen. I sort of looked around me and checked like, oh, no one saw that. Everyone's seen. Everyone's seen. No videos have been taken yet, which is great. that's what I think, apparently. But yes, when your partner's made a mistake, what do you do?
How big a mistake are we talking?
Ah, okay. Interesting. How big a mistake? Well, let's work our way up. Let's work our way up. Let's say, this is actually a good question.
Like putting salt in a brownie mix.
Right. Now that...
Once accidentally.
Okay. So putting salt in a brownie mix. Let's say your partner wants to surprise you. You like brownies. They make you brownies. And instead of sugar, they put in salt. How do you react?
Well... I should have actually known it was lasagna. He put sugar. accidentally.
Sugar like, in lasagna?
Yeah, because we were like joking about something.
Do you not do that?
No, because you put sugar, like, I can't remember what it was for, like sugar with the flour. Anyway, but yeah, obviously I laughed off because that's, you know, it's a small thing. It's like, oh, because it still tasted all right. A little bit sweet, but, you know.
I thought sweet and savory would work in lasagna.
It kind of did. It was kind of weird and it was cute.
Okay, interesting. B, is there a... an instance in particular where the mistake was of that level?
No, I've never made lasagna. But I think for the small things, it should be important to be able to laugh it off, if it's possible. I mean, there'll be a lot of bigger stuff in your way. You can't be getting hung up on the small stuff.
Okay, so that's on that note, let's move up to the larger stuff then. Now, by all means, neither of you are obliged to mention the larger things. Yes, it's an honest conversation, but I do care about your well-being post-episode. So, don't ruin the magic. So, larger mistakes. How do you deal with them? Let's say they've done something and they've made you particularly angry. Do you think in those instances you should yell immediately? Because naturally, I'm sure there's all, you know, we've all experienced time when a partner has done something which makes you incredibly annoyed and you have this innate feeling to want to yell. Do you give in to that instinct? Or do you step back and sort of take in what's going on and then make a decision? But I guess the more important question is, which one is more realistic?
It's dependent on your personality type though, because obviously some people naturally just resort to yelling and other people retract, you know? Because I'm more of a, like, I go into myself and I kind of go, like, really monotonous, and, like, I look at the person and then I walk out. So it depends.
Okay. Me?
I'm a retractor as well.
Okay.
I think, which isn't the most healthy.
Yeah, it's
I just wait it out. If I'm annoyed, I'll just avoid you, and then I'll forget. And then that's how I work. But, yeah, it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you not think it always works?
No, I think it's important to actually address what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And your initial reaction might be to shout, but that's not going to be productive. Because if you come at... Well, not me. If you come at someone, they're going to get defensive immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to sort it out productively, really.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I mean, I can think of a few instances myself where a previous partner has done something that has annoyed me, and I felt in that instance I've wanted to yell, but then on second thought I haven't, and I haven't because, as you said, I've rationalised that yelling at that moment in time is just not productive. It doesn't really solve the problem. If anything, it delays the problem, because then the focus then shifts from what the actual problem is to, you're yelling at me.
Yeah.
And then you then say, well, I'm yelling at you because of X, Y, and Z. Then they say, you don't need to yell. And it just sort of propagates, and then it just doesn't get solved. But I think you are right. I think it's important to sort of be able to express your emotions in a healthy environment. And I think sometimes that requires you to take yourself out of the frame and see the bigger picture. And that can be quite hard to do when you're emotionally invested in a situation. So I suppose what we should take from that then is just sometimes take a minute to think. Now, I quite liked what both of you sort of said in that you sort of walk away. Because sometimes that can be a good thing to do, physically walking away from the situation or emotionally walking away from the situation. Because then you've got time to sort of collect your thoughts and think and then construct not so much an argument, but your stance on the matter. You can then say, this is how I feel about what you did. And I didn't really like it. Let's work on it together. Because sometimes it's not about apportioning blame to the other person. It's about saying, okay, well, this happened. Why did this happen? Because I feel as though a lot of times in society, when someone does something wrong, it is very, very easy to sort of apportion blame and leave it at that. Very seldom do we actually think, why did that happen? Are relationships important? That's my next question. We've already sort of talked about it, you know, about not needing them to complete you. But I want to talk a bit more about that. Are they important?
Firstly, do you mean like romantic ones or do you mean like friendly ones?
Good question. Well, I suppose given the theme of this month, it's all been romantic to a certain extent.
Okay.
So I suppose romantic relationships, are they important?
Let's let ego on this one.
Depends what kind of person you are. I think I used to be someone quite happy to be on my own. Like,
used to be.
No, no, it's cute.
That's cute.
That's how I did that.
Continue.
No, yeah, it's true. So it depends on the person where they like rank a relationship in that. But I think if you meet someone that you want to be in a relationship with, then it happens. Or if you are someone that gets lonely, then it's obviously something you'll be seeking out. But I don't think in general this is something you need.
Okay. Again, it depends on who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Okay. Kat?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think you need a relationship, especially at our age as well. Like, I feel like our age is one of, like, exploration and, you know, freedom. And I feel like relationship can sometimes maybe hinder that self-development. No, not in all instances, but I wouldn't say it's the most important thing. It's an important thing, but not that high.
Okay. And I think, I quite like your answers, because I think that's something that a lot of people need to hear. And I think it all comes back to what you were saying, B, about what type of person you are. Now, to a certain extent, I can continue to sort of blame how media romanticizes the idea of relationships and finding the perfect person, etc. But it comes to a certain point where you're really able to sort of formulate ideas for yourself. And to that extent, you need to be able to think, okay, well, do I need a relationship? What does it serve in my life? Now, in some instances, a relationship can be because you're lonely. But at that point, you then need to consider, is having someone around and getting to that level of commitment just to fill a gap of loneliness, is that the right thing to do? Because relationships, whether you like it or not, are a responsibility. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are a drag on you, but it takes emotional effort and it takes time. And if it's just to sort of fill in a gap of loneliness, then is that necessarily the right thing to do? Especially at our age when we have other responsibilities to deal with. Now, if you're older, then that's a different story because you may not have as many responsibilities. You may be retired, for instance. So the responsibility of love, if you're older, for example, the responsibility of work may not be a massive factor. So I suppose, do you guys want to maybe expand on that a little bit more? Do you think you would sort of agree there? Is really age dependent or maybe maturity dependent?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it does depend on what else you have going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, because I was thinking about all those couples that kind of stay together for like their children in terms of like, you know.
Okay.
And I think they shouldn't do that. Because it's like the kid can see that the home is unhappy. And it's just obviously they're valuing the relationship being like a sort of model for the children. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk a bit more about that. So that's quite interesting. Because I think what you're saying there is that in essence, the idea is that by staying together, you sort of create this model where you have mum and dad and maybe two children, maybe a pet, you know, everything's happy, but in reality it isn't. So then even though you're trying to present this model, in reality the model doesn't reflect reality. And I think children, especially, are quite good at sensing things. I think children in themselves have the ability just to know certain things without necessarily being told. Because there's an innocence in how they feel and how they see the world. As you get older, I think a lot of the time we feel as though we're conditioned to think otherwise. The way that we dreamt as children changes as we get older.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Sweets, and now I dream of
dissertations. I used to dream of sweets and now I dream of dissertations. I love that.
Sad.
Honestly.
I might actually add that to a bit of a quote somewhere when the social media goes up for the podcast. But okay. So I suppose to sort of round off that question then, relationships are as important as you make them to be.
but you need to be able to rank your priorities. And I think that's important because when you're in a relationship, you know, I mean, I'm sure everyone in the room here is a firm believer in putting 110% into anything that they do. And so to that extent, with a relationship, that should be the same. Now, if at any point you can't do that because of other priorities, then you might need to rethink whether you need to be in that relationship. Could we all agree on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Okay. Relationships do take work.
A lot of work.
But the work, I would argue, is worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Provided that, you know.
And if you feel the work isn't worth it, then you end the relationship.
Exactly. And again, that comes down to self-love and thinking about yourself and what's best for you.
Yeah, there are plenty of fish in the sea.
I mean, what if you don't eat fish?
Well, you know, I guess eat chicken then.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay. Last couple of questions. If you had to give advice to someone who's aspiring to be in a relationship, what advice would you give them?
Don't rush into anything, maybe. Like, the idea of aspiring to be in a relationship sort of seems like they're looking for any relationship.
Sounds a bit desperate.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Aspiring to be in a relationship. I'd say stop aspiring. Honestly.
Yeah, that word's too big.
It honestly is.
Okay. Why don't you just hope like the rest of us?
Yeah. Hope that you meet that person. Okay. You guys look across the bookshelf and fall in love, you know.
Isn't in an ideal situation, you'd both be studious.
Bookshelves and McDonald's.
Brilliant. Okay. So don't rush into things. Don't aspire.
Don't idolize them as well. You know what I mean? Like, don't think they're...
the be-all and end-all of your life.
Yeah. They're not like the movies.
Last question. If you had to advise someone who's already in a relationship, what advice would you give them?
Don't just carry on with it because you're used to it. You need to want to be in it. Ongoing. Some people just get into the habit of, oh, we've been together so long, this is my life. But it needs to excite you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I say don't be too complacent. Like, actually value what you have, because a lot of people don't in relationships, especially long-term ones. And it's like, if that person leaves you, you're going to realise and it might be too late. So just, you know, continue the love at the same level it was when you first started.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant answers, and they complement each other very well. And we talked about complimenting earlier. So that's fantastic. No, that was good. I suppose you are right. I suppose they go hand in hand. If you do those very little things, just send a text every so often. Give a compliment every so often. Suggest that you spend a bit more time together than you normally do. Even if you both live extremely busy lives, it's about making time for that person. Yeah. Little steps. And no one expects you to be perfect all the time in a relationship. There is no human being that is perfect, but it is in our imperfections and our recognition of our imperfections that make us self-aware and that make us closer to perfection. There is perfection in imperfection. I suppose I'll sort of end on that note. In a sense. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time that we have for today. I mean, I do want to say, though, I cannot thank both V and Kat for coming on the air and having a discussion with me about relationships and really giving a very wholesome but realistic ending to this theme of love that we've had throughout February. I really do want to thank them. So thank you for your time, guys. It's much appreciated. As per usual, I couldn't make this episode as well without the artists involved. You can find the information in the description below. But ladies and gentlemen, I will see you again in March, when we will start a new topic. But until then, take care of yourselves. Have a good evening. And again, thank you for listening. I've been your host, Mr. Mocha. Until next time.
How do I finish off this episode? Just remember that you are so much more than you think you are, even if it doesn't feel that way. Because remember, There was never a rainbow without a bit of rain.